Thank you. Ready? One short, okay.
Okay.
Good morning. I would like to call to order the March 2nd, 2022 Technical Advisory Committee meeting. The Palm Beach TPA is conducting this meeting both in person and virtually using the Zoom webinar platform. Instruction to join the virtual meeting as well as contact information for assistance are provided in the published meeting agenda. Staff, please call the roll so that we can establish a quorum.
At this time, I'm only asking the TAC members attending in person to respond by saying "here" when I call your name. If you're attending on behalf of an alternate, please state so. Jim Bell, Kwan Young, Gary Dunmeyer, and Amanda, I'm sorry, I forgot. There's a button on the base, and when it's red, it's on. And you can bring it closer. We do sanitize the mics. I'm sorry. Richard Pereira. Kenny Wilson.
Here.
Chang Jen Lam.
Here.
Kim Glass Castro. Gary Sipek.
Will Hicks for Gary Sipek.
Brian Davis.
Present.
Levi McCollum.
Anna Bielowska for Levi McCollum.
Aaron Hoffman.
Here.
Terrence Bailey. Lorraine Cargill is excused. Kim Delaney. Michael O'Dell.
Here.
Alex Hansen.
Here.
Javier Falcone. Valerio, thank you. Jamie Brown. Natalie Crowley.
Mike Morrow for Natalie.
Christopher Marsh is excused. Joyce Kai. John yeah. Crane.
Here.
Modisim Alturk.
Here.
Kara Ferris.
Here.
And then for the record, Madam Chair, Jamie Brown did just join the meeting and we have a quorum in person.
Okay. Thank you. Next is modifications to the agenda. Staff, are there any modifications to the agenda?
Yes, Madam Chair. I do have two members that are requesting permission from the TAC members to participate remotely. I have Jim Bell that noted he has a medical restriction preventing his in-person attendance. And Joyce Kai noted that the school district is still experiencing staff shortages and her presence in the office is required. Both of them are online already.
Okay. So TAC members, I'll ask you, are there any objections to allowing these members to participate remotely? Seeing none, these members are approved to participate remotely.
And March. Madam Chair, sorry, just to interrupt again, I do have Kwan Young that joined us in person as well.
Thank you. Margie, please note their attendance in the minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
Next is motion to approve minutes from February 2nd, 2022. Are there any changes proposed to the minutes? If not, may I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
So move.
Second.
Who was the second?
Michael.
Michael. Okay. I have a motion by Alex and a second by Michael. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Thank you. Moving on, general public comments and public comments on agenda items. As a reminder, there are three ways to provide public comment for this meeting. Written comments may be submitted online at the website provided in the agenda. Verbal comments may be made by a virtual attendee using a raise hand function in the Zoom platform. Verbal and written comments may be provided by an in-person attendee submitting a comment card available here at the welcome table. Staff, have any general comments been received?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Next item is E, comments from the chair and members. I don't have any comments at this time. This time I'd like to invite any TAC member comments on items not already on the agenda. For members participating remotely, please utilize the raise hand feature in Zoom platform and then remember to unmute your microphone once you are recognized. I don't see any raised cards in house. Margie, are there any raised hands? Okay, excellent. Next is the TAC liaison report. I'd like to invite Connor to provide an update.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Connor Campobasso, Palm Beach CPA. I have a couple items for you today. So starting off, March is Florida Bike Month. The TPA encourages local governments and partner agencies to host events to promote bicycling as well as bicycle safety, as well as participate in the TPA's group bike ride on March 11th. So that's next Friday at 7:45 a.m. For more information on the event, you can visit palmbeachtpa.org/walkbike. The state is also hosting Florida Love to Ride Challenge through the month of March and encourages local agencies to participate. So if you want to join that, it's loveToRide.net/Florida. The next TPA governing board meeting will be held on March 17th at 9 a.m., both in person and virtually. To view the agenda packet and meeting details, as well as watch the meeting, you can visit the TPA's website. The TPA, as well as local industry leaders, will be hosting a panel event on mobility and economic development. This panel is going to be hosted on Thursday, March 31st from 10 a.m. till noon at the TPA office. To register, you can visit the website link in the agenda packet. The U.S. Department of Transportation announced $1.5 billion for the 2022 RAISE discretionary grant program. Applications for that are due April 14th. And for more information, you can visit transportation.gov. The National League of Cities launched their Safety First Challenge to build a coalition of 100 plus cities and towns who want to join the safety movement by taking steps in their communities. For more information, you can visit the website at nlc.org. And lastly, the TPA administers three competitive application-based programs annually for funding of projects located within Palm Beach County. This year's applications are provided in the following page in the liaison notes. Please note that there was no formal submittals for state road modification applications this cycle. However, the current list of SRM has over $200 million in needs already identified. In addition to that, the TPA staff and jurisdictions are working collaboratively with DOT to evaluate future state road resurfacing projects for safety and complete streets opportunities. And any projects that are identified in that will be potentially added to the list of priority projects in the future. So, and with that, that is the end of my liaison report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
No, Madam Chair.
Do any committee members have any comments or questions on the liaison report? I don't see any raised cards. Moving on. Thank you. Next are action items. First is a motion to recommend adoption of the 2022 legislative and policy positions. I'd like to invite Andrew, TPA Deputy Director of Program Development, to present this item.
Good morning, everyone. So this will be an action item for you today. This is the 2022 draft legislative and policy positions that we have for the TPA. This is our second year going forward with adopted legislative and policy positions. I know a lot of your local jurisdictions also adopt policy positions. And so if you, going through this, see additional items that can go towards the division of TPA, make sure you reach out to me or our staff and provide those, and we can add those into the future. So I'm really going to go through these, and they're based in order of our vision, a safe, efficient, connected multimodal transportation system. Again, to restate our mission and vision, to collaborate, plan, prioritize, and fund a transportation system, and then a vision of a safe, efficient, and connected multimodal transportation system, and they'll be ordered in that way. So why do we have these legislative and policy positions? One is to grow local consensus on a future mobility vision for Palm Beach County, balancing projects and land use development patterns, and also considering timely pursuit of additional revenue sources. It's also to advance the TPA and also Southeast Florida's vision of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach in the state legislature, and to influence federal transportation funding or policies. So recently there has been the new infrastructure bill that was $1.2 trillion in infrastructure, which is an increase of over $550 billion in new spending. We actually hosted a webinar yesterday about the bill and the new types of grants that are available towards transportation. And you'll be able to find that on our website. So these legislative and policy positions all are really culminations from various documents with our partners and the ones that are adopted by the TPA, including a 2045 long-range transportation plan, our Vision Zero action plan that was updated this past year. The legislative and policy positions are the Metropolitan Planning Organization Advisory Council that we have at the state level, which is a combination of all the MPOs in the state. And then also the Southeast Florida Regional Transportation Plan for 2045, which is a combination of a regional mobility vision for Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade. And then I'll go briefly through all the different policy positions we have as draft here for you all for review. The first incorporates safety. So changes to state and federal law to expand the distracted driving law. Right now it's only for texting while driving, expanding that law to for all distracted driving, obeying crossing guards, automated speed enforcement, requiring helmets for bicyclists, motorcyclists, and then including safety technology in new vehicles. Next is enhancing education. So requiring the annual safe walk and bicycle curriculum in our schools, driver's education in high school, and passing tests of pedestrian, bicycle, motorcycle laws to obtain or renew driver's license. And then lastly, roadway safety info distributed to rental car companies. So providing those some type of material at rental car companies for when drivers are renting vehicles. And last for safe is revising roadway design standards to be more based on context classification and using target speed and not just existing speed. And then also including more flexibility when it comes to the types of safe pedestrian crossing treatments at mid-block and unsignalized locations. Next is efficient, and this is to advance autonomous, connected, and electric vehicles and infrastructure funding. And then next is to allow MPO funding flexibility to maximize efficient delivery of transportation products on local facilities. An example of this for number five, when it comes to how we can provide more flexibility is other states, which we don't do here in Florida, but other states have a policy where they can swap federal and state funds. So you no longer, so the state would receive all of the federal funds to use on products, and then your MPO would receive state funding to implement projects. Sometimes those are one-to-one swaps. Sometimes they vary, but that would just provide more flexibility and streamline that process of delivering projects because it would only be state-funded projects. Next is connected, promote complementary land use patterns around existing and future high-capacity transit routes. Those are identified in our LRTP and then also in our regional plan for the region of Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach, all the high-capacity routes along those networks. Use existing maintenance funding and pursue additional funding to reconstruct roadways to enhance ped bike facilities and transit. And then multimodal, so advance a regional connected high capacity and efficient transit system to support anticipated growth and mobility, and then increase flexibility within existing state transportation programs to allow funding towards high capacity transit and support infrastructure. And then lastly, under multimodal, allow flexibility within the strategic intermodal system funds for facilities not designated on the SIS if the improvement will enhance mobility or freight on the SIS network. So this is actually a push from the MPOAC level, and that's where this one originated. And the map on the right there is hard to read, but it's just showing the major spine of the roadways and facilities within the state that are on the strategic intermodal system. And so this one is to allow flexibility off the system if it does still benefit the SIS system. And last one is to seek additional funding sources at all levels to build, operate, and maintain high capacity transit. So next steps, so what do we do with this information and these policies once adopted by the board? We collaborate with partners to unify on our priorities. So as staff and also as board members, we have liaisons who serve on the Southeast Florida Transportation Council, which are with our three partners, and then the Florida Metropolitan Planning Council Advisory Committee, which is a combination of all the MPOs within the state. We also be proactive in providing feedback when federal government and state updates their policies. So when it comes to the Strategic Intermodal System Policy Plan, the Florida Transportation Plan, or other major documents, both at the federal and state level, and then educate community and elected officials. And that's all I have for you. And once again, this is an action item for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Staff, are there any public comments on the item?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. I need a motion to recommend adoption of the 22 legislative policy positions. Once we get a motion, we can start discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Who is the second? I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. Okay, we have any discussion, any comments? Alex?
I guess this may be a procedural question. The document or these policy positions are identified as a draft here. So my question is, why are we recommending adoption of a draft? Shouldn't we recommending adoption of the final document? And if this is a draft because you think that there may be some adjustments, some revisions made later on, shouldn't then we be seeing the document once those revisions have been made? Because it's kind of unusual for us to recommend adoption of a draft as opposed to a final document. And it's identified in the agenda as well as in the watermark as a draft. So I was curious.
Yes, I guess that's policy procedure then. This would only be seen by you once today. So I guess in that sense, it is the final and not a draft. You are adopting the final version and you wouldn't see it until next year again if it was adopted by the board.
Okay, Mo.
Thank you. I have two suggestions about this draft.
Mo, can you bring your mic closer? Thank you.
It is on, so can you hear me now? Yeah, okay. So one issue is that we probably need to focus and or bring up the issue with enforcement of the laws that we already have in place. Like texting is illegal now and it can be penalized. Unfortunately, this is the biggest thing that we all see and observe. Anytime any one of you is driving on any road, sometimes witness a driver who is almost crawling on a high speed, lane, and when you pull around them, you'll find that they are, texting or doing whatever. And it's just, sad to see how our law enforcement cruisers will be going by and doing nothing about it. So distracted driving is big deal and it causes accidents and it also distracts from the capacity that we have for our roads, because when a driver goes really slow because they are distracted, not only that it's unsafe, they are also slowing traffic and distracting from that. So I think we need to add something to that effect in our policy. The other thing I have issue with is the repeated mention of high capacity transit. High capacity transit, I don't know what is meant by it here. Sometimes you say high capacity transit network, that could mean, you want more transit units and or transit routes. But traditionally, it had been used to indicate large buses. And that solution had shown repeatedly in the past that it was failing, and that's not the way to go. And now with the advancement of technologies and because of the low density of development that we have in Palm Beach County and the sprawl, the micro mobility is the future and is the solution that is being picked up everywhere. So my suggestion is that we either strike out the word high capacity and or do what one of my colleagues with the county suggested, that we replace it with the word efficient. And that will leave, flexibility. We still have and we want to support transit as an alternative, but we don't want to predetermine up front what type of transit we want that probably defies what experience has shown and what is the trend now going forward elsewhere. So with this, I have a friendly amendment to the motion. Is that if that can be done? So to change the motion to approve with a couple of amendments. One of them is adding support for enforcement of existing distracted driving laws in addition to the item that we have already, and also replacing the words high capacity in the policy when it comes to transit with efficient.
So, Andrew, do you have a definition for high capacity transit network?
Yes, we, let's see, I have my slides up. One of the slides I mentioned, I had some graphics on the right, and it showed, and that was sort of referred to a high capacity transit. So it's what you consider at the higher level of a light rail system, right? And then going down to dedicated bus lanes, and then what we call bus rapid transit light. So more premium service, but operating in mixed traffic. Let's see if I got it here. On the right there. So when we say high capacity transit, I think at the lower level, it's premium transit services. So upward ticketing, level boarding, but something you'd see in a bus rapid transit light.
Okay.
At the lower level, and then all at the higher level, light rail.
Yeah, I understand. That's still kind of specific. And what I meant to discuss here is that we need to leave it open. We look for efficient transit that will do the job. What shape and form it will be is dictated by advancement in technology and new solutions that are being offered. And again, as I said, the trend now for the future is about micro mobility and shared ridership and other options. So by saying high capacity, we are kind of restricting it to a specific type of transit. And I would rather have it be named high efficiency or efficient transit.
Okay, Kenny, you made the motion. Do you want to change the definition? Or? Oh, Kim, yes.
Yeah, thanks. So it actually struck. Oh, sorry, mic on.
When it's red on top, Kim, it means it's on.
There you go.
There we go. Try again. So, pardon. So I actually, as I was listening to your presentation, and thank you, Andrew, I was actually thinking as well that that high capacity transit doesn't narrow the focus of complementary land use patterns. And I think when we, as we've evolved our thinking about the connections between transportation and land use, we want complementary land use patterns, not just around high capacity transit. We want complementary land use patterns to support the efficiency and function of the transportation network, be it high capacity transit, you know, multimodal, multi-use path, regular roadway, untreated, incomplete or complete. I think complementary land use patterns are an aspiration. So to Mo's point, so that's one thought, if you will. So, and I don't know if others on the committee share that opinion, but I think that's become increasingly our goal as MPOs to more expressly focus on the land use transportation relationship across the board. And that's kind of new for MPOs. I mean, MPOs were much more narrowly focused when they first came about, but the MPO mission, if you look at the federal legislation, is really much broader, I think, than we perhaps initially realized, because MPOs aren't just about transportation. They're about land use, they're about environmental condition, they're about economic enhancement. There's actually a 6-point charge for MPOs in the federal legislation. So with that, we could consider, if you go back to your land use regionally to support anticipated growth, it's your policy is under connected, I believe. If you go over to connected, right? So I think perhaps what we may want to do is promote complementary land use patterns to improve efficiency and support existing and future high capacity transit routes, kind of something along those lines, because the high capacity transit routes are just one part of the network. And I think we start to miss opportunities for the MPO or the TPA to play the leadership role that the federal charge suggests it will in getting more into land use. And this TPA has been really one of the leaders in the region in doing that. So supporting Mo's point, suggesting that as an amendment to consider among other amendments, perhaps to broaden our focus with respect to land use. So that would again be promote complementary land use patterns to improve efficiency and support existing and future high capacity transit routes as one of the amendments. Not to negate the importance of the high capacity transit route. So that's a different point than what Mo is making. Yes. It's not the same point. So it's a different point. Those things are important and they need state and federal funding to make them happen. And they only happen in conjunction with our partners as a TPA. So I'm not underplaying the importance of that, but just trying to broaden the policy.
It feels more like you're equating the high capacity transit network only with the fast bus routes, but I think you are showing it means a lot more than that. I think that's what you're asking for, is to have it encompass a lot more than just those rapid bus transit.
At the end of the day, we don't advocate for a particular product. We advocate for the outcome. We want certain, you know, outcome. So we look for whatever product would be available now and or in the future that would fulfill our goals. And it's similar in the past, you know, the TPA used to put as goals to install as many video cameras for detection as possible. And that was something wrong to do, because you are telling us what kind of solution to use when that solution might not be in the future the best. Rather, we would want to advocate for the goal is to get efficient, reliable detection or whatever, not rather a product, a certain product or.
I think you're doing that.
I mean, I can see it either way, right? I mean, it's a change in the language and what you all feel is important to put across when it comes to the type of if we need to say a certain type of transit or not. You know, when it comes to these policy positions, in the end, whether it's high capacity or not, you know, what we're trying to get to is, as you're talking about, complementary land use with transit and then funding flexibility towards transit, right? The way that sort of manifests in the end, it might be high capacity or not, but right, it's, I guess, comes the word choice there. I don't know implementation wise if it changes either way. Okay.
So I have a motion from you, Kenny. Would you like to make any modification to your motion? Oh, I'm sorry, Brian also would like to speak.
Thank you. I'm going to sort of throw more fuel on this fire. If you will notice back in the actual backup that the prior heading is efficient. And so there's already efficiency factored into all of this. But I also went back and I followed the footnotes and the, what is it, the South Florida, the planning document that is based on the regional. I went back and looked at it, and it mentions 7 of the 13 policies. It says high capacity transit in every single one of them. So the source document is based on capacity transit. If there's a fault, it's in the source document. I mean, I understand that, but I think we also have other ways to approach efficiency. But also, to that point, when I looked at it, only one made it out for land use, where they had three separate policies adjacent or relative to land use itself. So I think that there may be some room to kind of play around with this. There's an unusual focus on transit, which I have no problem with, but I think there's other ways to sort of accentuate the efficiency and the connectedness to this that can maybe, and it's probably beyond my skill here on the fly to come up with it, but it was something as I began to look at it, it sort of struck me. It was efficiency is another component that could probably be teased out a little bit more. And as there are, you know, two policy provisions here for efficiency, but four for multimodal, but they sort of blur over. I think there could be a little bit more wording done to that effect. So I just wanted to point that out to everyone that I think we're really after a capacity as it offers the choice. We're not yet to a point where people can completely get out of their cars. We need to do more work on land use, and that's how all this begins to work together. So I think we need to do more on the land use, and we can get there with the rest of it. So I just wanted to throw that out there for conversation and consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Alex?
I do want to indicate that we do have already policy, I think it's 9 in here that makes a reference, and I realize that is for multimodal, that makes a reference, I'm sorry, it was 8, speaks about a regionally connected high capacity and efficient transit system. So it kind of deals with those two issues that we have been discussing. I would be a little bit reluctant to remove on some of the other policies the reference to high capacity transit. I think it needs to be kept. I would be open, whether it's through some of the language that Kim suggested or some other language, to add some other reference to efficient. I don't have a problem with that, but I would be reluctant to just remove the reference to high capacity transit. And again, we do have this policy that kind of deals with the efficiency as well as the capacity of those transit systems. So we could utilize similar language to some of the other policies if that kind of satisfies both concerns, the efficiency and that flexibility that Mo is advocating for, as well as the issue of capacity.
Okay, thank you, Alex. Michael?
I think both what Mo suggested and what Kim had suggested, if I'm not mistaken, this legislative document also relates to dollars, is that correct? So when we have these policies and procedures, we're looking to also fund programs and dollars. So creating flexibility, creating some variations so that we have some greater flexibility would be, in my opinion at least, something would offer us an opportunity to seek additional dollars for these programs. And I believe that's what this is all about. It's also tying to the dollars that we're trying to seek for our programs. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Anna is next.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk a little bit about how these policies tie into our transit development plan. We recently completed and submitted the fiscal year 2022-31 TDP to FDOT. We branded it Accelerate 2031. And in terms of how we're treating these high capacity transit routes, we're calling it the 561 plan. Core network improvements. So currently we are focusing on doing frequency improvements on these routes that are identified in the TPA's long range transportation plan. So in the near future, we are looking at doing 15-minute frequency improvements on those routes. Currently, Route 43 is one of those 561 plan routes. And in September, we actually did a frequency improvement on that route from 30 minutes to 20 minutes. We've seen some ridership increases on that route. But in the future, we do have studies underway, and we do need the funding to do improvements on those routes. So we are doing studies to see what type of premium transit services we need on those routes, and BRT light, those types of things. So I would like to keep high capacity transit, but I'm open to adding efficient in the language if needed.
John?
Yeah, I didn't have a comment on the trans, so if you want to wait, so other people have comments to keep the conversation flowing, but I have a point at the end on number 3 about safety. So.
Okay, is your comment on what we're talking? Okay, go ahead.
I just want to reiterate that when you say efficient and or high efficient transit, you're already including the high capacity. So instead of, you know, singling out certain type of transit we want to promote and adopt, I am saying that we need to look at the outcome. At the end of the day, we want efficiency. We want, you know, whatever choice we make delivers efficiency. So high capacity is still included. It's not excluded when we say high capacity, high efficiency and or efficient transit.
John?
I just wanted to point out, we, in terms of number 3 and safety, improving it, you talk about target speed as part of not just existing speed. I believe the FDM already is doing that, and so is DOT in terms of establishing target speed for all our projects. So I didn't want the TAC to think that this wasn't already happening. So as you make this presentation to the board, if this is going to be a high priority for the MPO, just in the context that FDOT's already allowed for that. I noticed part of it talks about local standards as well. So maybe, you know, the focus is more on the green book, making those types of changes, but just for the record.
Okay. Any public comments?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay. All right, I have no more comments. How would you like to proceed with your motion, Kenny?
I'd like to leave it as is with an emphasis on efficiency.
Okay. Aaron, will you accept that? Aaron, will you accept that?
I thought about it and yes.
Okay, thank you. So I have a motion from Kenny and a second from Aaron. All in favor, please say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed, aye. Say nay.
Nay.
So okay. To confirm, I just have Mo as a dissenting vote.
When you say emphasis on efficiency, I know we just voted, but the clarity on that, is that more towards what Kim was stating on that land use one, or okay, is that what
it would be throughout?
Throughout. Okay. So, I guess for staff, what your recommendation is where it's sort of saying anywhere where it's saying high capacity transit, also ensure that we're integrating the word efficiency in those sections. Is that sort of a good way forward for us?
Well, on the lower level, not necessarily the high capacity, but on all of the
okay.
the transportation plan.
Okay, I'll go through and I'll see how that would play out for integrating more of efficiency emphasis on a lot of these. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. All right, moving on to informational items, the draft of the fiscal year FY23-24 Unified Planning Work Program. I'd like to invite Matthew Kama, TPA Chief Financial Officer, to present this item.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I come to speak about our Unified Planning Work Program. We'll call it UPWP for short. And we're seeking input at this time as it's in draft form. The UPWP is our two-year operational plan and budget. It begins July 1st, 2022 through June 30th of 2024. It also is our application for federal grant funds. We are funded by Federal Highway Administration, Federal Transit Administration, some state funds through the Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged and some local funds. And really in this document, we identify what we're going to do. We strive to do so with deliverables. We establish who's going to do that. So it'll be staff, consultants, and a combination of the two, when our targets are for completion and really how much that's going to cost. And lastly, where we're going to get those funds from within our overall budget. We have seven core tasks within our UPWP. Engage the public, which is part of this step right now. We seek input and reach out to the local community. But in addition, plan the system in the short term, plan the system in long term. That's our LRTP 2050 that we're working on next. Prioritize funding, implement projects, collaborating with our many valuable partners to the agency. And lastly, to administer the agency effectively. One note that I will make at this time, we are changing, or there is a change occurring with how those funds are administered to the TPA. This really won't affect any of the other aspects other than how they're administered and making sure we are here to serve you as a staff. But the Federal Highway Administration, we call those PL funds. Those are specific funds for MPO planning. In addition, there are Federal Highway SU funds or Surface Transportation Block Grant funding that we can use for planning. And lastly, these Federal Transit Administration funds for MPO planning. These three different grant types or funding types have been handled separately in the past. A great effort's been done with the state in collaboration with FTA and FHWA to put that into one centralized or consolidated planning grant. Its anticipated outcome is to make our administration easier, but it is a change that we're going to see. So we'll see this new term, the CPG. You may not see that frequently when it comes to the committees, but internally among staff, we will have this new term. An idea of these revenue sources and how they constitute our budget. The bulk of our budget is through FHWA PL funds or those MPO planning funds. This FHWA SU funds, that's those surface transportation funds that we're using for planning purposes. And then FTA funding that comes to us. That CPG plan that pulls together the first three funding types that you see, FHWA and FTA. The remnants from before doing that consolidated effort, those are called FTA from fiscal 21. Those we have to treat separately. And then our CTD, that's Commission for the Transportation Disadvantaged. And then our local funds that constitute the whole of our budget. Total, we're looking about $4.9 million in fiscal 23. And then 4.78 million in fiscal 24. And then we present on a large view where we'll spend those funds. We operate a balanced budget of, we have this money available, this is how we're going to use it. And we break that down into how we spend money that comes from grants. Those have specific restrictions on how they can be spent. And then the funds that we use for these local funds that we use for other things to make us improve our impact, really, as a TPA. Again, that's 4.9 million and then 4.78 in fiscal 24. I will highlight one change. We are seeking to add one additional staff position in fiscal 23. We have some new compliance requirements with contracts and things that we anticipate, and we'll be adding one position. And then this gives a timeline of where we are in this process. We bring this to you now and open to public comment for any input from the community. We'll also take the draft to the board here in March. We'll give this to FDOT for comments and also seek other comments. We'll make changes in May. We seek final adoption of the document, and then it gets transmitted to FDOT and then to FHWA to approve, so that we have the funds available to spend July 1st at the start of fiscal 23. And really what we're seeking is input for additional plans, studies, because we want a safe, efficient, connected, multimodal system to serve Palm Beach County. And that constitutes my comments for today, if you have any questions.
Staff, are there any public comments on this item?
Yes, Madam Chair. I do have a virtual attendee with a hand raised, if you're ready.
Yes.
Khrushchev, if you can state your name yes. and agency for the record for me, and then you have 3 minutes.
Good. Khrushchev Mahirudin with Palm Beach County Planning Division. The long-range transportation plan, we keep moving 5 years into future every 3 years, and now it's almost 30 years in the future. With the changing technology, I think that, and I have experience in modeling and all that stuff. As you go further in the future, you lose credibility in the outcome because there is much more in the future modeling projections. Therefore, I think the effort should always be to hold the line, if not even reduce it to 2040. If you want to keep it at 2045 and update it, and federal regulations allow for that. It does not require that you keep moving further into the future. With autonomous vehicles, changing travel patterns, changing the trip generation characteristics of offices and stuff like that. It's just and personal mobility coming up big time with autonomous vehicles. I think we should not be moving forward with keep going, you know, into future more and more years. We should hold the line. That's just a comment. I know it's, you know, for the three county area. So, you know, if agreement is already made, that's fine. But we shouldn't be really moving forward with plans in that much into the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, Alex.
This is an acronym heavy document. So I think that's an understatement. So at times it was kind of difficult to understand what everything meant. And I realized that you have an appendix at the end of the document kind of outlining. So, because I struggled when I was, what is this? And I was just trying to, sometimes it was outlined initially, sometimes it wasn't what the acronym meant. Just a one couple of acronyms that are used a lot because they're funding sources is FHWA/PL and FHWA/SU. The SU is not identified anywhere as an acronym. I just realized that we were talking about surface transportation funds. I just want to point out that while you have it everywhere in the document, it's not included in the list of acronyms. I would suggest including it because it's referenced almost in every page of the document. So, I do not know if there's any other way to make it a little bit less acronym heavy. I realize there's a lot of federal, state, and programs and initiatives included here, but it's for the general public, if we want to make it accessible to the general public, is a difficult document to digest. But I would definitely suggest include the what SU means in the acronym list.
Absolutely, we'll address that.
Thank you, Alex. Michael?
When you were talking about looking for programs and specifically multimodal and things, I know we're all challenged with trying to, in our individual municipalities, cities, areas, trying to work with, trying to tie to the modal systems that are out there, the mass systems that are moving. So is there anything in our programming that talks about how each of our municipalities are communicating with you with regards to our internal systems that we have? So is there something that the TPA is doing to gather the information from the individual cities and municipalities as to what they're doing internally to get you to a hub, so to speak, so that you can see how it's connected, how the cities are connected to your overall your overall multimodal system? Do you have any kind of program like that?
So the TPA does seek to be that leader. That is our purpose, to help bring together the communities and be that mode to communicate. We do have some programs and some partnerships. We identify that as collaborate with partners within the UPWP itself, as we do have that focus to speak with other, the different municipalities. We have funded some studies in partnership with some of the municipalities and have made those efforts as they've sought what multimodal opportunities and complete streets opportunities there are. We've assisted in some of the funding for those studies and partnered on those. And as far as a communication hub, I would ask other members of my team, or I would give additional feedback for that. We have some data that we do share. We serve as a data hub. And then I think Valerie will have some more comments on how we bring together those comments.
Good.
Good morning, everyone. Valerie Nielsen, Interim Executive Director. I wanted to tag on to what Matthew was saying in terms of we are working on one hand, we'd love for our municipalities to reach out to us if you'd like help with mobility, with complete streets corridor studies. We try to be proactive on identifying upcoming projects such as resurfacing to see if there are opportunities to do something better. And we work with the municipalities. An example is Lake Worth Road that's going to have separated bike lanes. It was going to be a resurfacing project, high crash ped bike corridor. And we reached out to the Village of Palm Springs to see what we could do differently, work with Treasure Coast on that. And so we do try to tackle that on the front end. In terms of a longer vision of how it all works together, we are trying to refine our mobility vision, and we're for the future. We identified in our long-range transportation plan, as was mentioned, the 561 plan, a network of corridors that would make sense to evaluate for enhanced, more frequent premium transit service. And then including the high capacity transit corridors, evaluating for that, not just on roadways, but also along Tri-Rail for Tri-Rail Coastal Link and Brightline FEC. So there's that. But as part of this effort that we want to really kick off in terms of refining the mobility vision, we want to talk to all of our municipalities and say, here's the network that we've identified has the highest density of people and jobs per mile, and that we've worked with Palm Tryon to identify, and Tri-Rail and Brightline. Now we'd like to know, what are your thoughts for your municipality? What are your desires in terms of mobility and the microtransit that was, you know, talked about, and kind of that local circulation for walk, bike, transit, microtransit? What are your thoughts, and how does that tie into this larger network, more regional network that ties into the regional transportation plan? So that's something that we want to work on, and please reach out to us. But also, we plan to be reaching out to all of you to see what your plans are. And I know we're working with some of you on your local mobility complete streets plans and refining what are those connections, those first last mile connections. So that was what I wanted to chime in on.
Thank you, Valerie. I don't see any more cards, so thank you very much. Moving on to administrative items. Items 4A through 4C are informational items only. There will be no staff presentation unless requested by a committee member. Are there any public comments on these items?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, our next TAC committee meeting is scheduled for April 6th, 2022. At this time, our committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.